You know, we sing these hymns like Luther's grand hymn there. And I don't know, many of us were raised in churches where they talked in creeds. They would recite the Apostles' Creed and all these things. You know, when you look at church history, these old hymns were, and the creeds were one of the ways they guarded good doctrine in the church and got good doctrine in the heads of people in the church. I can remember as a kid, I was in a church that actually didn't have good doctrine, but they always said the Apostles' Creed. And I kind of remembered it. There was a couple things in there I stumbled on, but I remember they just kind of said that every time, every the Sunday it rolled around. But, you know, okay, you know, that's what it became. But originally, you know, in the early days of the church, there were some really bad heresies out there. The Arian heresy that denied the deity of Christ and many more. And the church was under fire. So the original church fathers, they said, how are we going to defend the faith? And they came up, that's where these creeds came from. They were a way of people could recite and memorize and have in their head what they believed. And to keep them from being confused. And so that's why, whoops, going blank, the laser there, sorry. You know, I came across this book, The Apostles' Creed by Tozer. And the fact that it was by Tozer really caught my eye. Because how many of you know who A.W. Tozer is? I mean, he's a good Christian Missionary Alliance guy, a lot of good books, a lot of good devotionals and stuff. But he's talking in here about the Apostles' Creed. And I don't know. There's the Apostle Creed, half of it. You know, this is the way it goes. It goes, I believe in God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He was seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. See, this is where most of us kind of choke. Right, the Catholic thing, you know. But this is, you know, not talking about, you know, the organization that the Pope runs. This is the using the word Catholic in its intended usage as means universal. You know, the word Catholic means universal. So this is the universal church. We know from reading the New Testament is the church that we are, the body of Christ. It's the church all over the world, everywhere people get together, get into God's Word and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the universal church there. So it ends in with that, and the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So there's everything we believe, isn't it? So I mean, that's actually pretty good stuff. Well, I might kill somebody with that laser. So anyway, I was intrigued about, well, what do the Tozer has to say about this? And you know what really knocked me out with this is his treatment, his discussion of the Holy Spirit in here. Now, this book was written probably well before World War II. It's been around a long time. And he's talking in here about the section he calls our neglect of the Holy Spirit. And he talks in here about, he says, he goes on and he talks about how the Holy Spirit is pretty much ignored in a lot of churches or misused in a lot of churches. Now, again, he's talking way back, I mean, before any of us were born, probably. And so it was a problem for a long time. And he makes this statement. He says, the doctrine of the Spirit is buried dynamite. Its power awaits discovery and use by the church. Wow, I read that. And he goes on, he said, he awaits our emphasis. He says, when the Holy Spirit ceases to be incidental and again becomes fundamental, the power of the Spirit will be asserted once more among the people called Christians. So I thought, wow, you know, the more I thought about that, the more I'm thinking, you know, I just felt God was looking my next sermon would be on the Holy Spirit. And once I decided that, you know, Satan came after me with both barrels, you know. So this has been an interesting trip. And I think it's going to be good, though. But, you know, I think for us, once we really get back to, you know, the Holy Spirit, God within us, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get the grandest present you can ever get, and that's the Holy Spirit living within you. And we'll see that in these passages we're going to look at. So it's to our loss that we don't use them as we should. I mean, I listened to Bob talking about divine appointments and how, you know, he and I were talking before the service and how he just, the Spirit led him to go to those places yesterday. And he listened. You know, we listen to God's Spirit and we find where he's got work for us to do. And that's why I go to jail. Yeah, pray for me. I'm going to be in jail tomorrow, too. No, I don't. I'm a chaplain with Dodge County Sheriff. That's why I go to jail. But I get arrested. I don't speed or anything like that. So, all right, let's get into this. There's a lot to look at here. Past that, you know, I think some of the best teaching on the Holy Spirit came from Jesus Christ himself in the Gospel of John. And that's what we're going to do today, mainly. Now, this will be a two-part sermon, because the next part, next time I preach, we'll do the next part of it, which will be, we'll go to the epistles and the rest of the New Testament and see what was written there as far as the spiritual gifts and other stuff. So stay tuned once we're done today. But John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, nor know him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. So, Jesus is introducing us to the concept of the Holy Spirit. This is the introduction to the Trinity and how it works. You know, the Holy Spirit stays with us. That's one of the biggest things to learn. He says here, I will give you another Spirit that he may be with you forever. Forever. You know, that's pretty plain there, isn't it? You know, there's some places you go, they tell you you can lose your salvation. That it's possible. You know what, I read that, and I don't think so. You know, he says he'll stay with you forever. I mean, that's kind of permanent. You know, he might knock you upside the head if you're not walking with him. And I've felt that in my life. And, you know, we all have at times. But he stays with us forever. He promises to keep us. What a promise. And he's our helper. He says, the Spirit of truth. In 16 he says, another helper. You know, it's talking about someone that's like Jesus, but somebody different. You know, that's the paraclete. That's that helper. He's here to help us. To help us to minister, help us to live, just help us to think, to be our comfort. You know, to let us know that God is near. That triune God is near. He's in us. That's how near he is. That's about as near as you can get to be in somebody, right? You know, and he's with us, and he stays with us. He abides within us as believers. You know, that's huge, I think, to know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. He comes into you and there's change. Your life changes. You know, because he slips in something we'll talk a little more about, but he talks about the world does not, the world cannot receive him because it does not see him. You know, part of having the Holy Spirit is having Jesus. You know, you don't have the Holy Spirit if you have Jesus. You don't understand this book until you have Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit gives all this when he comes within us. You know, I had a Bible on my shelf for years. I got it when I was 13 years old and went through catechism and got nothing out of it. And it sat on the shelf for years and years. And then when I was almost 30 years old, I got saved. I came to know Jesus. The Spirit was in me. And I started, I got to get into this Bible and see what's there. I pulled that brand new, you know, 20-year-old Bible off the shelf and started reading, and all of a sudden it made sense. That's what the Holy Spirit abiding in us, that's what he does, that's what he changes. All of a sudden this makes sense now. It all makes sense because God is within us. And we start to learn about it. So, okay, moving right along. Okay, now the next section here, again, this is in 14, verse 26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will give send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you remembrance what I said to you. Bring to your remembrance what I said to you. So again, he teaches us his word. He shows us what it means. He helps us to understand it. When a pastor or a teacher is telling you things out of the word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us understand that. And again, with that abiding in us, you know, we get something out of all of this. Once we get there's a sense of assurance, I think, we get out of God's word that this is true and we can trust this. And we can know that we've had our sins forgiven. And he gives us peace, you know, a peace within us. You know, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know, having God within us, having the Spirit within us, brings a peace about us that we can't get any other way. You know, my Uncle John was with Jesus now. You know, I remember as a boy, he was the most calm person I ever knew. And I could see that peace in him as a boy. And it just stuck with me. And I didn't really understand it until I got saved, but I knew there was something about him. And I sensed somehow it was about his faith. And that's the testimony we can give the world is a peace. Because who's got peace in the world now? I mean, wow, turn on the news nowadays, you know. I get so tired of all these text messages I get from politicians wanting money nowadays. So, you know, whatever their politics are, you know, praise God for people who are pro-life and all that. But, man, I'll send you money if God says I should, but leave me alone, man. And give me some peace here. But, you know, and we should be active. We should be paying attention. But who's got peace? Now, what's going to happen in November? Yes, I don't know. Who knows? What will happen either way? There could be trouble. But you know what? If we're in Christ, we're okay either way. You know, he's in control, right? And we've done some studies on the second coming of Revelation recently. And, you know, we know what's going to happen. Eventually, Jesus is going to come back, and it's all going to be different. You know, we know there's going to be a tribulation time and all this stuff. Don't got to worry. Just do it right now. He wants us to be a witness for him. He wants us to share this peace with the world. This peace is so important. You know, this is the most important message we have. You know, you want peace? Come to Jesus. You want peace? Let him forgive your sins. Let the Spirit work through you and empower you to live. You know, that's what it's all about. That's the best message we can give to people. You know, because you walk around, there is no peace. There is no peace. You know what? When I'm doing these ride-alongs with the deputies and stuff, they tell me, they spend probably at least half their time with people who are having emotional problems, mental health problems, and that's a root of half of what they do as a result of that. You know, that squat thing I went on, that was a fellow having a mental breakdown. You know, I happened to have a lot of knives and guns in the house, so that was an issue. And but that's what they do. And why is that? There's no peace. It's driving people crazy, you know, literally. I don't know how else to put it. And I know if I didn't have Jesus, you know, who knows how nuts I'd be. And, you know, I mean, not that it's bad to be nuts, you know. Just be nuts for the right things, you know. I mean, be nuts for Jesus, you know. Right? I mean, you know, people are going to think you're nuts. Be nuts for the right things, you know. Normal's overrated. You know, my 20 years in the fire department, I came out of EMS, but that was my bottom line of what I saw. You know, normal was underrated. Sometimes we had people who were very unnormal, but they were having a whole lot more fun than us. how is normal things overrated? Maybe it's good to be a little nuts. You know? Nuts is a medical term. You know?
Or a judgment term.
A judgment term. Yeah, it could be a judgment term. Because maybe the guy that's nuts is actually the guy that's normal. Yeah. I have to think of that, too. Anyway, I'll bring it back on track here. We'll see if it off, right? this is a message that should bring us joy. You know, I mean, this should bring make us happy as believers. What have we got within us? We've got the Holy Trinity living within us. Because when you think of the doctrine of the Trinity, it's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says the Holy Spirit is within us, well, who's he connected to? The Father and the Son. God is in us. That's a big deal. You know, this is a God that makes stars in heaven, makes the lights, the electricity, and the wires, and all this stuff. I mean, that's a big deal. And so, that's a lot of power for us to have available to us for ministry too. So we got to keep that in our heads too. Now, moving right along. Okay, now chapter 15. Let me get in the right chapter here. Yep, that's 15. Okay, when the Helper comes in verse 26, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. He's saying, you know, what's the Holy Spirit trying to do in you? He's going to testify to Christ through you. You know, our ministry, our witness comes from the Holy Spirit, and that's in Christ. So when we witness, we're not alone. It's the Holy Spirit is the one who's sharing Jesus through us. And he'll guide us to where, I mean, Bob will tell you story after story, and Gracie now too, of how, you know, this is all orchestrated by Jesus to help us to bring people into the church, into faith. And so he'll give us the words to say. He'll take us to the right places to talk. You know, I don't, many times you'll be thinking, well, I'm going to say this, this, and this when I witness. But all of a sudden you start talking, no, I better say this instead. Do this instead. And it turns out much better because the Holy Spirit shifts your ears. And he brings you into what this person actually needs to hear. You know? So we need to learn to be really sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing. We'll talk more of that next time. But, alright, now. Okay, I think we'll stop on that one. Okay, he's our source of knowledge. He's our source of power. You know, no, there's no razzle dazzle, just inner power. You know, I just, thinking about all this, we see stuff on TV, we see these guys that are, to me, they're razzle-dazzle, you know, they're a lot of glitz and other stuff that we won't talk about this time, and it's not what we see. The Holy Spirit, it's inner peace, it's his inner power working through us to touch people. He gifts us in ways that are not normal to us so that we can do this, and it's not razzle-dazzle. It's inner peace that draws people in. You know, I mean, you could razzle dazzle at a rock concert, you know, oh well, you know. But we can only get inner peace from God, from Christ, from the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to get that. So, all right. Now, John 16, verse 7, it says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. Alright, it was said earlier that he's the behind the scenes guy who comes and gives his minutes. That was well put. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has So here Jesus again is talking about the Holy Spirit's relationship to the world. You know, this is a pretty important passage too. Because he talks, he says, he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. You know, why is the world bothered by us? You know, what bothers the world about the church? You know, why would there's people out there would just soon have us go away? Because when they look at us, it reminds them that there is a God they have to deal with. You know, Bonnie and I were on vacation last week. We were at the Ark down in Kentucky. Pretty cool place if you ever get a chance to go there. The GPS doesn't work well down there, just be warned. But, you know, what a testimony that is to the reality of God's Word. And there's a lot of people who don't like that Ark being there because it reminds them of the fallacies of evolution. And it reminds them of the reality of God and judgment on sin. So it bothers them that that's there. But what a testimony. And it says in, I think it's in Peter, I think it talks about Noah when he built that thing. It took him 100 years to build that thing. I mean, it's huge. When you get there and you stand beside that thing, it's, oh my goodness, this is bigger than the ship I was on in the Navy, you know. And it's huge. And this guy built this, an ordinary guy like us. Built it. And he's like, you know, he's by a handy guy like Corey, you know, or maybe a klutz like me. But God used him to build this thing. An ordinary guy. And it tells us in Scripture that it was a testimony and a warning to the people who saw him building this thing for 100 years. You know, when we're doing things for God, when this church is here and there's cars in the parking lot on Sunday, that's a testimony. Just the same as when when Noah built that ark, you know, there was a testimony that God was doing something. You know, God's still around, and the truth is still around, and people still believe it. So it makes us harder to ignore when we're active and we do things. And that's the Holy Spirit brings conviction on people. I used to, you know, you think back when I was an evolutionist and I read the stuff on evolution and said, okay, it's true, I don't got to worry about God. But then I hear people, you know, Christians that you talk about creation, and then, man, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the fact that it could be, if creation is true, you've got to think about God. That's why we have to be orthodox in our doctrine on creation and things like that. Because it's part of God's witness to the world. The Holy Spirit uses it. And, the Holy Spirit, his ministry to the Word, to the world, is to bring conviction, to point people at us and say, look at this true, and stir them up. His ministry to the lost, that's what it is. Now, keep in mind also, that means there's a lot of theologians out there that are lost as the day is long. I mean, just because you're, you know, wear the right robes and all this, and you're a theologian, doesn't mean you got it right. You know, you can be as lost as the guy in jail. And because they don't have the Holy Spirit to teach them what this book means, and they don't get it. And so that's why you come up with some doctrines, and people say, oh, that's biblical. Really? Okay. You know, because it's their own spin on it. And so they can make it fit. Or they can say, well, that doesn't belong in here. You know? So until you have the Holy Spirit within you, you don't understand this. Except the parts that tell you that you're a sinner. You know, that the Holy Spirit will open up to you. Other than that, you got to wait. You got to get saved. Then he comes in you, and then you get it. So, all right. We'll move right along here. Okay. Still in John 16. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So that's why, you know, we go through the rest of the New Testament, you know, the writings of Paul and they talk about the Holy Spirit's ministry in the church and believers. I think that's what he's pointing to there. That, you know, we'll get to that, but this is more important. You've got to get this first. And that's why next time we'll talk about that, verse 12, the other things. But he says, When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So, again, Jesus is reaffirming that teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, he says it a few times, so it's got to be important. You know, we've got to be listening to the Spirit. He's the one that's going to show us things and teach us. This is important, you know. He says, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. So that's where we need to listen, learn to listen to him. We say, well, how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Does he call me on the phone, or do I hear his voice, or whatever? You know, I wish I could stand up here and just say, this is exactly how it's going to happen for you, but I can't. But you're going to know it when he's teaching you. You're going to sense it. A sense to him. That's the best way I can put it. I mean, you'll feel his movement in you, or you'll be drawn to certain places in Scripture, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, that fits. That's what I'm looking for. You know, it's that kind of thing. You know, and again, it's not razzle-dazzle. It's that inner peace at work within you. And we'll talk more about that next time, too. But just know that it works, and it does happen. You know, sometimes when I don't know what I'm going to preach or what I'm going to teach on, I'll just be kind of wheeling through the Scripture saying, Lord, what is it? You know, what should I be talking about? All of a sudden, you'll be there and like, oh, yeah, wow, that's something to stand to hear. And it just jumps out. I don't know. I don't want to sound, again, goofy or anything, but that's just kind of the way it works, you know. It's not me, it's him. And so, just... But you gotta live it, you know, live it, live it. You know, get into the Bible, read it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've been doing our devotions and all of a sudden it's like, boy, that really fits what we're doing, you know. Or, you know, God works through all these different ways. But the less we're open to it, the less we're walking with him, the less we're praying, the less we're in his word. You know, you gotta be in his word, you know. Doing devotions is great, but read this book, get to know it. Take time. Those pocket New Testaments that the Gideons have given out for years, those are treasure. I had one that was given to me when I went into boot camp by the, it was one of those little Gideon things. And again, it sat in a drawer in my house for years. And then I got saved, and I came across it, and I thought, well, I should take that to work. So I took it to work, and when I wasn't busy at work, I'd read that thing. And that first summer I was saved, I think I read the New Testament like about three times all the way through. And I just got hungry for it. Get hungry for God's Word. Get into it. Read it. Get a small one. I mean, now, oh man, you know, we got the Bible here. But now, okay, now I'm going to preach. You know, this is good, but this is better. I mean, this is handy and everything, but you should still have one of these. And you should still know what's in it and how to use it, because what happens if you don't have a signal? What happens if you don't have power? You know, in Kentucky, where we couldn't get a GPS, we probably couldn't get Bible Gateway either. I didn't try. But you should still have one of these that you can just pull out and look at, and don't be afraid to mark it and make it where you know where things are. You know, this is our greatest tool as believers. And if we underuse it, it's to our trouble, for our shame. You know, we've got to use this. God gave us this. The Holy Spirit's there waiting to teach you out of this. So, you know, jump into it and say, teach me, Lord. You know, I don't know what's going on. You know, my life's a mess. Help me, Lord. Show me. Teach me about yourself. So, and lastly, out of this passage is, I think, a very important thing. Look at verse 14. That one, last verse there. You know, you can read that with me if you don't have a Bible, but he says, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. The chief thing the Holy Spirit does is point people to Jesus Christ. That's what he does. He is, as Dan was just spot on, he is the behind the scenes guy. He's not the guy out front. He's the guy behind the scenes getting people to look at Jesus. Jesus. You know, if you're ever in a church, and a guy I worked with, he asked me, he says, my pastor never hardly talks about anything but the Holy Spirit. I said, well, maybe you ought to think about where you're at, because the Holy Spirit, when he's working, is going to point you to Jesus. Yeah, we got to study him. We got to know him. We got to get to know how to use him. But remember, ultimately, it's about glorifying Jesus Christ. Because who died for your sins on the cross? Right? You know, Jesus, he went to the cross and he was risen and the veil was ripped and all that. And the risen Christ, that's who the Holy Spirit points us to. Because that's where the power is. That's where we get our sins forgiven, our addictions broke. That's huge. That's huge. So hang on to the Spirit so you can really hang on to Jesus. So, alright. Now, I'm going to get moving here. There's a huge warning in all of this. And that's in Luke. And it's kind of, I think it's a very misunderstood passage in a lot of ways. People kind of choke on it. They don't know what to make of it. It's called this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit thing. And I think if you look at this verses in context, it makes some sense. So in Luke chapter 12, this is Jesus teaching again. And verse 8, it starts. He says, and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So there's the gospel, right? Confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the gospel. That's how you get your sins forgiven. And he says, yes, so I will know this person. When that person gets to heaven, he says, yes, this person confessed me on earth. He's one of mine. And bring them in. And now the warning in 9, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of heaven. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. So what we were talking about with the Holy Spirit, what's the message the Holy Spirit brings? It's Jesus Christ, right? He tells people, you're a sinner, you need Jesus Christ. That's his message, right? If you say, no, I don't, you reject that, what are you doing? You're telling the Holy Spirit, you're wrong. You're wrong. I don't need that. I'm not going to go to hell because I'm a sinner. I'm not going to go to hell because I rejected the gospel. So you're telling the Holy Spirit he's wrong. You're telling that's wrong doctrine you're teaching me. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you die doing that, what happens? He who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to my theology, is a rejection of the gospel, because the gospel comes to you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you reject the Holy Spirit's ministry of the gospel to you, you called him a blasphemer. You called him a blasphemer. You told him he's wrong. It's belong to what you're saying, Holy Spirit. Wow. So that's very dangerous ground. So blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is rejection of the gospel. Because that's the only thing that sin isn't forgiven, right? Before I was saved, I used to cause salt like a sailor, because I was a sailor for a while. And, that's when I took the Lord's name in vain and stuff like that. That stopped when I got saved, and it was forgiven me. But if I died rejecting Christ the whole way, rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I'm hellbound. That's just the way it is. That's God's doctrine. It's huge. This is important. People have to get this. It's a reality. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're in deep trouble. And we'll pray for you today. Don't leave here without taking care of that business. So, alright. We're almost done. One last thing. This is kind of a preview of next time. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I'm all wound up here now. you know, it talks about the Spirit comes in as, we're going to talk about quenching the Holy Spirit. First Thessalonians, it says, don't quench the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? You know what? This is where this thing comes in. Isn't that pretty slick, hey? How do you like my wiring job? He's a very reluctant one. You know, yeah, look at that. There are lights up and everything. You know, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in us. And how much of the Holy Spirit can we get? All of it, right? Oh, you can't see it. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. There it is. You know, this cord has 120 volts in it. It's all there. And it comes up into this dim picture. So I can make it really bright. Don't stare at that. But I can also make it pretty dim. I can quench it. I can make it go off. But that 120 volts is still there. But we just aren't using it. You know, when we quench the Spirit, we sin, neglect, whatever. We take that bright light and we dim it. That's quenching the Spirit. So don't quench the Spirit. Let it be bright. That's an incandescent bulb. That's making heat. You put that in your engine compartment, car will start when it's 30 below. But so that's quenching the Holy Spirit. Remember, if you're saved, you've got it all. It's all in the cord. It's all there. But this dimmer switch, that's us. We're the dimmer switch that can really knock it down. So we got to make it right there. There's all 120 volts going into that bulb. Right there, and then it's probably about 60. So that's that. We'll talk more about that next time, too. I put too much work in that to not use it. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we praise you and thank you for saving us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit and Father. We thank you that the whole Trinity was involved in our salvation. And in your word, in your Bible and in our lives. And how we pray that you'll touch our hearts, Lord. You'll, those of us who have claimed you as Savior, that you will just help us to make full use of your Spirit within us. Lord. Help us not to be dimmer switches, but just to let your Spirit flow and teach us in yourself. Lord, teach us to listen and to hear and what it feels like to hear your voice, Lord. And we pray that. Help us to really have a sense of you in ministry and in witness and rely on you in all things. And for somebody here and what we're doing and talking and praying about all this means it just sounds like a foreign language or something and it makes no sense. I pray for them that your Spirit would be working on them to help them understand that they need you, Lord Jesus. We pray for that. And I pray that anyone who's in that predicament would not leave here without clarifying their status in you, Lord Jesus. The greatest thing we can ever do is come to you as our Savior and get that peace that just doesn't go away. So, as we sing this last song, I pray that if there's anybody who has problems with any of this stuff, that they would not leave here, but they would seek out me or Dan or one of the elders and just ask and pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. See you next time.